Today I'm speaking with Leanness Lifestyle Success, Keith Broske. Keith, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very good, thank you.
Good. We're talking on the phone, of course, and I'm from Illinois. Where am I calling you from, or where are we talking to you at?
I'm down here in a suburb of Houston, Texas.
Okay.
Katy, more precise.
All right, well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would. Who are you? What do you do? How old are you? You know, anything about your family? How tall are you? That kind of stuff. Give us some of the basic rundown on who Keith is.
Well, I am I'm 33. I'm 6 foot tall. I am married, been married about, I think it's about 9.5 years now. I have 4 children, ranging from 2 to 10.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, you've got a house full. You're busy.
That's right. 3 of them being boys, so you can imagine. Basically, I'm an accountant. I'm a CPA. I work for a pretty large company, a Fortune 250 company. But because I'm an accountant, I sit in an office most of the day,
mm-hmm.
9-10 hours of the waking day. Not only that, but I work about an hour from where I live, so I take the bus. That's another 2 hours of sitting in a bus. So I'm sitting a lot most of the day.
And, mm-hmm.
And spare time, I like to coach football for my children, for my boys, and basically do things with the family when we have time.
Sure. Well, you've definitely got a full house going on there, and you know, and you've got substantial travel time. It sounds like every day as well.
But, and on top of that, I forgot to mention I'm also working on getting a computer science degree, a 4-year degree. So. It's a distance education type degree, but that still takes up some
mm-hmm.
study time and assignment time and that. So,
well, good for you. You're continuing to learn and you're using, you know, with your use of the Leanness Lifestyle as well. You've definitely proven that you've continued to learn, but
right.
Yeah, you definitely have a busy life going on right now, don't you?
Oh yes.
Now, when did you find the Leanness Lifestyle, and what initially brought you to the club? You've been with us for quite a while.
Yeah, I believe I was one of the first 100 members that you allowed into the club.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I had been a power store purchaser for probably a couple of years, and I had found coming to the power store started. I was looking for the best price
mm-hmm.
on Nature's Best Perfectrix.
Okay.
That's a 20-pound bucket that they used to sell. I think they may still sell it.
Yeah, we still got it, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember seeing your ad, hey, we price match anybody or something like
mm-hmm.
that. And,
yeah.
So I called up and ordered and found all the prices for your products were competitive or most times beat the other competitors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I became a power store customer. And then after about a year or so, I started looking around the net for something to basically a coaching or mentoring type computer program or someone that offered something that'll keep me focused and in line with my lifting goals at that time, which at that time was to gain mass, gain weight. And lo and behold, you started up the club.
Right.
And I thought, well, great, finally I found something that I could use. Before that, I'd find nutrition programs where you could, you know, put in your food and things of that nature and kind of self-track it. But nothing that gave you much guidance that told you, okay, this is what you need to do or what you should be doing.
Right.
And so I jumped on board with your first application and luckily was allowed in.
Yeah, and I remember back then too. It was a lot like it is now, especially when we're back then. We were pretty much bringing in just platinum members, and I think I rejected somewhere between 30% and 40% of the people that came in, just because I wanted to make sure the group was a good group and there weren't any loose cannons, so to speak.
Right.
So okay, so that's how you first kind of found us through the power store and so forth.
Right.
Well, what's your history like? We're looking at your pictures here. We see this great transformation.
Mm-hmm.
We see a guy that in his befores, yeah, he's heavy, but, you know, you can tell that he's still, you know, been lifting, and
right.
he's not way, way out of shape. So what's your history like with weight and fitness and so forth? And what's your transformation journey been like as far as in the past? You know, any previous diets or battles or anything?
Well, I wouldn't say that I've done previous diets.
Okay.
I have done BFL once. My wife and I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was successful to a point. But, you know, BFL is a 12-week hit or miss, and that's it. You know, once you're off there, if you don't have much drive, you're pretty much, it's like any other diet. You'll fall off that wagon, and you're right back to where you were.
Mm-hmm.
But I've started actually working out back in high school. I was in the football team, and of course, weight training was a major part of our off season and in season program. And I was at that gym every day that I could, but I could never get past being that 165 pound weakling,
okay.
You know, 6 foot weakling.
Mm-hmm.
And but I stuck with it throughout these years. But like a lot of diets, my exercise program was yo-yo. There were times where I would, I was increasing my weights, I was looking good, and then for whatever reason, I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And I would fall back and, lose a lot of the mass that I had grown. I thought myself being much more, I looked at myself being, well, I'm still fit, even though I may not have been.
Mm-hmm.
And about a year or so would go by, and then I'd pick it up again, maybe get a membership at a gym and start hitting the weights and find out, oh, man, I'm not as far along as I thought I was. But get back into it, and about a year or two after that, something would happen, and I would stop. And it just basically yo-yoed every couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Until I found pretty much, well, I'm not going to say until I found the club, because even after the club, I had periods where I would stop working out, I'd stop following
right.
the leanest lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suffer because of it.
Would you say that you've kind of come from more of a position of a thinner guy who's been trying to put on mass, and in that process, you've had periods where you've yo-yoed not only with your exercising, but in a mindset of I need to put on mass, you've overconsumed and didn't necessarily match your eating with your activity and got too fat in the process here and there?
Oh, most definitely. That's definitely what happened.
You didn't really come from a position of, look, I'm heavy, I need to get lean.
Right.
You really came from a position of, I'm 6 feet tall, I'm trying to get as much lean body mass as I possibly can. But in that process, you quit exercising as much as you should have. You kind of yo-yoed there, and but continued to eat like you were going to put on mass.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So what did you weigh then? Well, you've kind of come from a position of low to high to low. But for this particular cycle and what we're looking at here, what did you weigh when you started this transformation?
Well, in July when we started this transformation, I weighed 203. And just to contrast that a little bit to what I knew I could be, just a year and a half prior to that, I had finished another transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it, I don't recall it being part of a challenge or an intensive. I believe it was just on my own using leanest lifestyle principles.
Right.
And I had gotten down to 177 mm-hmm. just a year and a half prior to this July. So I knew I could do it, but after that transformation, things were happening again in my life where I stopped again, and I told myself, oh, it's no big deal, I know what I'm doing kind of thing, and thinking the activity that I was doing was going to be enough,
mm-hmm.
and it obviously wasn't because I shot back up to 203 by, a year and a half later this July, and for me, just my history of weight, 25, 26-pound gain is quite a bit in a year and a half.
Oh, sure.
And so, I was back to a weight that, back looking in the mirror saying, oh, something's got to change. I don't know everything or, I'm fooling myself is what I was doing. Thinking that I was doing the right things or, things that were that I was a part of or I was doing was just was working, and it definitely wasn't.
Okay, so you found yourself, even though you were a part of the program, you still found yourself from time to time drifting.
Yeah, definitely.
And do you think that was more a matter of overconfidence, or do you think it was a matter of allowing life to get in the way a bit, or a combination of both?
It is. I definitely think it was a combination of both, because it was as far as the confidence is concerned, there were plenty of times that I talked the talk, but I didn't, you know, I didn't walk the walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would discuss with people principles that I understood from leading this lifestyle, you know, my wife in particular, and others. But at the same time, I didn't follow them. Now, was that a matter of lifestyle issues getting in the way? My lifestyle issues? Probably. But I also think there was a part of me that said, well, you know it all. You know what you're doing. And it'll work in the end. Mm-hmm. It'll work out in the end. But mm-hmm. I wasn't applying what I knew.
Sure.
And of course, you never know anything. You never know everything about, you know, something.
Mm-hmm. There's always more to learn.
Always more to learn.
Right.
Right.
So, go ahead.
I was just saying, in fact, I recall sending you an email back at the beginning of this year, basically telling you, hey, Dave, cancel my membership. I think I'm not utilizing the group, the tools that you provided. Plus, I pretty much know what Leanness Lifestyle is about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you had responded, say, there's always a time where someone needs to get out of something or mm-hmm. something to that effect.
Right.
But you didn't cancel my membership.
Oh, I didn't?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
I'm pretty glad that you didn't.
I remember it vaguely, but I don't remember exactly what we had decided on or what mm-hmm. we had, you know, agreed
it was
on.
It was a quick little post in our private forums to each other. But I'm glad that you didn't, because I realized come July that, you know, Keith, you need to, you know, get back on the program here and get back in that book
mm-hmm.
and reread a lot of this stuff and get it lined back up to where it's going to help you become successful.
Well, I've got to ask you next. You started in July 2003, and where'd you finish at this time?
180.
Okay. And one of the things I have to ask is this. What you've done, Body for Life, you've made a transformation there. You said, I think a year and a half ago, you were 177 and mm-hmm. very low body fat percentage, not worth splitting hairs over, but it was
sure.
low.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, you weren't really involved in a contest where there was, you know, money prizes or whatever involved, but you used Leanness Lifestyle principles to get there. Mm-hmm. You still had periods, even though you've been a member since 1999, where you've kind of gone high and low a little bit, kind of yo-yoed here and there with your focus and desire on exercise. Is there any indication in your mind or from anything that you see that there's something different about this time? Or will we see Keith in May or June of 2004 at 210 on his way back down to 182 or something? What do you
right.
think? What do you think is going to happen? And why do you believe what you believe?
Well, that's a good question, and I was expecting that question. And it's a little difficult to answer only in the fact that I think the answer involves things that have happened in my life with my family and myself that, you know, probably don't need to get in too much detail
no,
about.
No, right.
But I think that when it comes down to it is this time there are some things of me personally that I believe I resolved within myself.
Okay.
And even though I got to 177 last time, it still wasn't it wasn't a happy period of time in my life.
Mm.
It wasn't a period of time where stress levels were low. It wasn't a period of time where my happiness was high and I felt that things were going well in my marriage or my family and my job.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are much different today. And not to say that there's not some stress, and not to say that there's, there's times where I'm still frustrated with this or that. But what I think I've seen this time is the bigger picture, instead of focusing on nitpicking details. Keep in mind, I'm an accountant, so
right.
details are my job.
Sure.
But I generally take that to life too. And what I'd done before was just nitpick about everything. And when things didn't fall in place like I thought they should,
mm-hmm.
then things turned bad. And
that's
within
when you,
myself,
you mean that's when your attitude turned bad?
Exactly.
Right. That's when your perception of life turned bad.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And when your perception of life turns bad, you don't really want to do anything. You don't want to. Your goals become second to the bad things that are happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that, you know, not only did I make a body transformation this time, but I made a mental transformation, mm-hmm. something deeper in my soul this time. And
what do you think happened with that? I read in one of the things I liked that you said in your essay is that, you know, you realized that full control equals no control,
right.
because there truly is no such thing as you controlling everything other than yourself. And so what do you think it was? Do you think it was simply a culmination of all of the learning, all of the just life that you've experienced, and things that you've learned here and there along the way that finally came together, or what? Something click? What happened?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, I am still a young guy. I'm only 33.
Right.
So I haven't experienced everything in life, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But just because of my nature, things aren't always going my way. Things weren't going my way at that point in time. It made me want to control them even more. It made me want to change things even more, or I guess focus on it so much more that everything around me became invisible. And that's not always a bad thing, but when it starts impacting the rest of the, you know, your family, my wife, or my own physical being,
mm-hmm.
well-being, then I've lost control of everything else because I'm focusing on this one little detail here, this one little problem here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it is. Even with my children, you know, you want your children to grow up, you know, you want to nurture them and mentor them and so become happy and productive. But I can tell you there were plenty of times where I was being so detailed with them that they end up becoming so frustrated, whatever needed to be done didn't get done,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that type of attitude that I had, that type of mentality that I had, basically just it got so intense, I ended up psychologically spiraling out of control,
mm-hmm.
And this may not be the best place to mention it, but I actually had to go and get therapy, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not a therapeutical type of guy. I'm not one who says, hey, go to the psychologist if you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always believe that a lot of things can be you can help yourself within.
Right.
But I was unable to do that. And I was focusing on the woulda, shoulda, couldas,
mm-hmm.
instead of this is what, you know, the wills and the won'ts and the more instead of focusing on the things that, well, this should be happening, well, you know what, this is what happened. And then you just, you deal with it, and this is how it impacts the bigger picture, and you deal with it from there. And I think that's where I'm at now. And it may be confusing to those who haven't been in that situation, but for me right now is I realized that I was trying to control things that I really couldn't control.
Right.
And,
well,
and I would never be able to control.
And you'll never be happy if you were to stay there. And so,
right.
I want to applaud you on getting the help that you needed. And I say in the book, you know, I think the people that are nuts are the ones who realize that they don't have the tools in the toolbox to handle the situation or the events or whatever's going on in their life, yet they still stand by and let those events and situations control them without getting the tools in their toolbox. And that's
right.
What professional therapists do, you know.
Yeah.
We won't hesitate to spend $3,000 on a tummy tuck or an eyebrow lift or whatever, but we won't spend $1,000 to get our mind right.
Yeah.
And people look at it totally different, and they look at it with somewhat of a, you know, a negative attitude. And I say that I think the people that are nuts are the people that let life go by without getting their head right.
Right.
And whatever has to be done to make that happen, it's worth it.
Yeah, and you know, you could extend that out to the people who spend thousands of dollars on supplements and exercise programs, like me. I mean, I've been a supplement purchaser for 15, 18 years,
right,
thinking, hey, if I buy these supplements, I'm going to get where I want to go, and I'm going to be what I want to be. But it doesn't work unless your mind is focused and clear enough to see the bigger picture in things, and particularly in life. And mine wasn't. Mine was getting worse and worse.
Right.
And not only that, but, you know, it impacts the wife, you know, the most. And then when she's unhappy, what happens? Then I become more unhappy, which means she becomes more unhappy.
Nice cycle, huh?
That's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, nice cycle. Well, you did make some very wise choices. You did get help. You did utilize tools. You did did a number of things that were obviously right on the ball. And I think that with what you're saying, that you're definitely a lot more prepared to handle what's going to come your way in the future, and you have a much better mental outlook. And that is going to impact what happens so much with your body weight, body fat, and all of that. But how did your body fat change during this particular period? What did it drop from?
If I recall, it was, I believe it was at 15% at a minimum. It might have been a little higher, to roughly 7% at the end of this last challenge. And now, granted, that was on a three-site measurement using calipers. So, you know, sure, there's some fluctuation. But that's the test we use from beginning to end.
Right.
So, but
was there anything harder than you thought it would be? Anything easier? You've got some experience with this now.
Right.
It's not like it's your first run through. You know.
Right.
Was there anything one way or another that was harder or easier? Did pretty much just go as planned once you had the other things coming together mentally?
You know, I would say if nothing else, at the beginning it was a little bit harder just being consistent with everything. But once the first 4 weeks went by, things just fell in place and became much easier. But, you know, just like most people who get into an exercise routine or some even a diet, you know, those first couple weeks are always difficult. And that was probably the most difficult. But once you get involved and get into it, and especially with, like, the tools on your site, once you get that base down, the foundation down, they become a snap, you know, and become much easier.
You go from, you know, spending an hour a day on them to spending 10 minutes a day.
That's right.
What was a typical day like food-wise for you then? Tell us, you know, just kind of tell us what was breakfast and then what and then what and then what.
Well, breakfast was usually whole foods. And I worked out in the mornings. That was one major change I made in my workout routines from prior times was I worked out in the morning, just so I knew I could have enough time. But then I would eat whole foods, and I know that for the most part it's suggested to, you know, drink a
protein carb mix
exactly.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to do was try to get as much whole foods in as possible, because I had always been lacking and other times eating whole foods. And so I would eat some eggs, some low-fat Canadian bacon, steel oats, some flax meal in with that to get some fat in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd change it up, maybe eat some pancakes, high-protein pancakes, things of that nature. And maybe once in a while I would have a drink. And if it was a drink, it would be like Gain.
It's like a post-workout drink.
Post-workout drink,
right.
Exactly. Then by the time I got to work, it was time for my second meal, which was I believe it was usually a bar with some vegetables. and kind of a strange combination, but I'd always get one or two servings of vegetables, and with that, generally carrots and maybe cucumbers. And then the third meal or so would be your typical, I don't want to say typical lunch, but, you know, lunch with tuna or turkey breast and then some more vegetables. Rarely any potatoes. I don't think I had any potatoes. I had some yams every once in a while and some wild rice. Interestingly enough, I didn't do any brown rice this time. I stayed with wild rice as much as possible. And then the fourth meal of the day, which was mid-afternoon, 3 o'clock or so, I would... It just depended on my mood. I don't want to say it was a splurge. It definitely wasn't a splurge, but I may have a shake from one of the smoothie places here where, you know, Lean Body or some other mix was in there. Or if I brought some of my own food, I would eat some of my own food. And occasionally I would eat a protein bar, low-carb protein bar with maybe a piece of fruit. Then the fourth meal was a dinner that we made at home, again, balanced with vegetables. And then before I went to bed, generally something low in carbs, high in protein, maybe another bar with very low carbs in it.
Okay.
One of the things that I found that was causing me issues last time, and I love those Pro Max bars. I was eating 3 or 4 of those a day at one point.
Okay.
And you tell yourself, yeah, you're eating supplements, so, you know, that's good. It's a supplemental bar. It's, it's good for you. But, you know, you end up with 80 to 100 grams of sugar with 4 bars and those things. And for me, at least, a high amount of sugar was killing my thighs.
Oh, right.
So I pulled off of the Pro Max bars and went a different route with bars this time.
Did you eat more vegetables this time than normal?
Definitely.
And what, you just combined them with, like, your protein bars, like you said, or how did you get them in?
Yeah, the second meal of the day, I would measure up a cup of carrots and take a half a cucumber and just slice it up and bring them to work and eat them raw. You know, maybe bring some fat-free ranch with them, and so I had something to dip them in. But generally ate those raw, and then with lunch it would be some broccoli, again a cup full or so of broccoli, and then at the evening just steam some up, and again broccoli or I'm not a big vegetable eater. I don't like a lot of vegetables, but broccoli was one thing that I decided I'm going to eat this. And I did. I ate it once or twice a day. And I ended up actually just getting the taste for it and liking it. There's other vegetables, though, that I know I won't ever touch. But, you know, I had 5 to 8 different vegetables in my repertoire, and those seemed to do me well.
What was your how much resistance training did you do, and how much cardio did you do?
I was doing anywhere between 45 minutes and 60 minutes in resistance training 3 times a week. It just basically it depended on what body parts were involved. And on the aerobics, I started out in July at 15 minutes at about 3.5, well, maybe 4 miles an hour, I think it was, and ended up at about 35 minutes, 36 minutes, at 6.5 on an incline of about 3 degree grade.
That's a big change. What? Yeah. How many times a week would you do those 30-35 minute sessions then?
3 times.
3 times. Okay.
3 times. And what I try to do on aerobics every week, I would increase something. I would increase either the incline, the time, or the speed, or a lot of times I did 2 or 3 of them.
What did you do when you felt the pull? I'm sure you did at different times during the challenge here, during the contest. What did you do when you felt the pull toward unhealthy eating? What did you do to stay focused?
Well, you know, some of it is it's easy to say, but it's hard for a lot of people to do. It's just just have that willpower not to eat something, Dave. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it comes down to sometimes. You just got to tell yourself, no, I'm not going to eat it, and walk away and do something else. So some of the practical things I did, though, I would grab a cup of water, just drink some water. Or there were times that maybe I gave in a little bit and just had something, quick. The key, though, was to make it minimal enough just to, okay, boom, that's it. Now, how do you do that? Well, I have something I call the salsa trick.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is I love tortilla chips. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I have a little glass bowl, and I put some salsa in it, and it was enough to get me about 10 to 12 chips. Once that salsa was gone, bam, no more chips.
Mm-hmm.
And put it away. And that's how I took care of that craving.
Yeah.
I don't crave many candies or other too much junk food, but there were some things that I did. Ice cream, you buy that low-fat or non-fat ice cream. And,
mm-hmm.
and they've gotten to the point now that stuff, to me, is just as good as regular ice cream.
It's amazing what they've done. We've got it so easy compared to the way it was 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the foods that are available and low-fat this and or high-fat that, whatever foods you're trying to find, but the taste is there if you want it.
Oh, yeah. Same thing with protein drinks. You know, 10 years ago, it was nasty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Today, a lot of it's great. And that's another thing I would do is I would mix up some designer whey in water just to get if I was craving something sweet, chocolate designer whey. Just throw it in, one scoop, 17 grams of protein.
Mm-hmm.
And boom.
Makes sense. Yeah, satisfy that sweet tooth.
Yep.
We're just about getting out of time here, but I want to ask you a couple more questions.
Sure.
Your waist was what when you were 203, and what's it now?
It was 36 and climbing,
mm-hmm.
and it's now easily a 32. My problem, though, is my thighs are big, so they're a little big for normal
mm-hmm.
pants. So, 33, sometimes I have to use those just so I can get my thighs in.
You're wearing, 570 Levi's or bigger
yeah.
or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, 560s too. I think I can fit into those. But.
Right. And what advice would you give to the person who's thinking about beginning their next attempt at, the transformation? I mean, you've gone through it several times. You've
mm-hmm.
been involved in different attempts at it. Did Body for Life before, done Leanness Lifestyle before. What would you say to the person who's getting ready to think about doing it again now?
Well, I have to take again the personal issue that I went through, and that's that would be to, there are all kinds of problems in life, but if you go in with an open mind and as clear of a mind as you can, then that's to me that's when I had my best success.
Mm-hmm.
Is when I let things come to me instead of me trying to control things and trying to make things happen. Additionally, just from my observations of other people's, there's just not a magic pill out there. There's not a magic program. There's not a magic pill. It's becoming, changing yourself, changing your attitudes about things and your habits and other things around you, making it something basically just part of your life.
Yes.
Instead of thinking, that mindset 8 to 12 weeks and I have a new body and it's going to be with me forever. You've got to have that mindset that this is going to be a change for the better and it's something that I'm going to stick with.
Is Keith ever going to be big enough?
Am I ever going to be big enough?
Mm-hmm. Are you ever going to be big enough? Do you see yourself continuing to chase the additional lean mass for the next 10 years or so? Or
well, I can tell you I'm chasing that now.
Sure.
And will I for 10 years from now? I may not be alive. But this is something, though, that I definitely feel has become ingrained back in my life again, where it's something that I don't see myself falling out of just because of some of the things that I've been able to take care of within myself, and I'm enjoying it, I'm having fun with it, and I'm seeing the results, and the results have done nothing more than, you know, nothing less than motivate me more to do what I want to do. You know, I would like, and I've mentioned this to you kind of implicitly,
mm-hmm.
I think a contest is something that I would like to do, if nothing else, for the experience and say I did it in the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
I think you're almost going to have to get it out of your system.
Yeah, I do too.
You just come from that particular, you know, frame of reference, and, you know, knowing when you came in and why you came in the club and kind of where you came from, and as I've gotten to know you, you know, you've definitely got that bodybuilder mentality, and by that I mean, you know, that's why I asked, will you ever be big enough? Because I think that most bodybuilders would basically say, I will never be big enough.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as having too much muscle.
Right. No, and I would definitely agree mm-hmm. that is my mindset at this time, that I won't be. And I lift now with that mindset that, you know, I'm not big enough, and I have to get big enough, or I have to get bigger.
Yeah, before it, yeah. Any of the last words of advice, pearls of wisdom you want to share with anyone who may be listening to this, you know, anywhere from, you know, a few days after we do it to years later?
Well,
thinking about this?
You know, I would say for the one thing that we didn't get to touch on that much, it's basically just the support both in you and the guidance that Leanness Lifestyle provides, as well as the tools online, were just, you know, they were just so much value. It's hard to even put it in words, because other programs, diets, what have you, you can't call Bill Phillips up on the BFL and talk to him about your process,
mm-hmm.
you know, how you're coming along. And that's something that I think, you know, it makes this program and makes what you have developed that much better. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the Leanness Lifestyle and its tools and guidance is, for me, is something that I don't think I will ever be, you know, I would ever get rid of. You know, I plan on using this stuff for a while, you know, as long as I possibly can.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Keith, and, you know, I really do, of course, And, you know, I agree. It's, I think, one of the things that separates the Leanness Lifestyle from so many other programs is that the help is there, and, I mean, it's really there, if
mm-hmm.
you're willing to reach out and ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had, like you said, you've had moments where months have gone by where you just kind of let the mailings come to you, let the emails
yeah.
come to you, let the audio come to you, and just kind of rode things out. And then there were times when you really wanted to step things up, it was there.
Right.
And that is most definitely a difference. And I want to congratulate you on making a significant transformation. You did incredibly well. Your change is just awesome. And there's no doubt about it that you're going to inspire a lot of people by the changes you've made and this interview today. So I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to speak with me today, Keith. And we'll be keeping track of you. So touch base, and when you're getting ready to do that show, I'm sure we'll be letting the other members know, and maybe we'll have a set of follow-up pictures to go from the afters that you have now, which is incredible, to true contest photos, which will be just that much better.
You can count on it.
All right. Well, thanks so much, and we will talk to you soon.
All right.
Hi, this is David Greenwalt, founder of the Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online. If you enjoyed this recording and would like access to my entire library of informative and cutting-edge interviews and conferences, simply visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. And spelling that out, that is www.LLinkin.ESNEdward.ASNAdam.NSNNora.NSNNora.ESNEdward.SSNSam.SSNSam.ThenLifestyle.com. That's www.LEANNESSLifestyle.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed creating this recording.